Good day and welcome to the CTT first half results presentation. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Francisco de Lacerda, Chairman and CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello. Good afternoon or good morning. Thank you for attending the CTT half year conference call. You have the presentation. We also disclosed the press release yesterday, and I'll go through the presentation that you certainly have in front of you. Starting by the key highlights, the first message I would like to convey is that in fact we have a strong growth in recurring profits and cash flows from ongoing businesses and some good signs for the future. In terms of business performance in page four, we can see that in the first half versus compared with the first half of last year, we have reported revenues increasing 1.7%, operating costs 1.3%, and reported EBITDA 3.5%, although the recurring EBITDA, and we'll go back to that later on, has increased 11.1%. In the quarter only, comparing the second quarter 13 with the second quarter 14, we see a growth of 21.8% in recurring EBITDA. Net profit up 14% in the half year to 36.1 million euros, and recurring net profit going up 19.8% to 36.4 million euros. Operating free cash flow also very strong and going to 66 million euros in the first half of this year. Some key metrics on the operational terms, which we believe are important to your analysis. The addressed mail volumes, although declining, they are, I believe, in line with expectations. We all remember the first quarter figure that created some doubt, but I think now with the full half-year figure going a decrease of 7% compared with the first half of last year, goes in the direction that we were anticipating and confirms the view that the first quarter had some comparison and cutting issues that create a not so meaningful figure. Nowadays, having seen the two together, the first and second quarter, we see the decline in line with what we believe could be expected. Unaddressed mail volumes going up strongly. I remind you that in the second quarter of this year we had European elections, and all the elections are always good to this business. Average mail prices going up by 4.4% in the first half this year compared with the first half last year. We have price increases in the 1st of January for the bulk mail, in the 7th of April for the non-bulk transactional mail, and in the 1st of June for the press mail. And parcels volumes going up by almost 12% in volume terms, as we will see, not exactly that in terms of revenue, and saving flows going up very strongly during this period that we are analyzing. Turning the page, just highlighting, I covered some of those, so just to highlight, to remind everyone that we sold our 51% stake in EIB on the first quarter this year, and that affects some of the comparisons, and that's why we will keep talking about it, keep mentioning it for comparison purposes. And also that the FGEI pilot was launched in March. Currently we are operating in 24 CTT post offices. We are already working together with the government in the financial modeling of this business or this cooperation. And later on in the year, we believe we could have some news on that front. Financial services, where the savings volumes more than doubled in this first half, and that even provoked that EGCP revised upwards its 2014 target to 3 billion euros of placement, coming from 2.8 that was the initial target. We launched the consumer credit offer at the end of June in the joint venture with Cetelem, and credit cards offer to follow in the last quarter of this year. Express and Parcels, an Iberian Express and Parcels portfolio launched in March, and in terms of what we are doing with the business and its restructuring, I'll come back to that later. On page 6, the long-term partnership agreement with BNP Paribas, that you know. The review of the strategic case and business plan for the Postal Bank is underway, and we plan to take it to the board by the first quarter of this year. And something that is not new, but the figures are higher than expected, I would say, in terms of IT and communications procurement process, we have it almost finished. There are still some periods for that might create some issues, but we don't believe we'll see much of that. And so, in fact, we can consider that it's about to be closed, with savings of around 14 million euros per year, which is coming down. It's deducting from 25, so it's from 25 to 11 million euros the bill per year after we normalize it during 2015 compared with the full year with the current conditions. This is much higher than we anticipated, and that's good news and a good surprise, I would say, for us and for the investors in the stock. The strategic repositioning of the Spanish subsidiary Tourline, it's underway, affecting revenues and profitability. And the process of integration of Mail and Express and Parcel distribution networks in Portugal has started, and we will see more of that in the second half of this year and even during the first half of 2015. And this is a deep transformation that we are managing. We believe that we'll get good results out of it, as we have discussed in the past, and it's already happening, and we know that we have a specific plans, and the rollout is starting to happen. Also, in terms of HR, career development and incentive schemes are being designed, and we believe that we can introduce variable pay at various levels later this year and more significantly during 2015. Page 7, after we deduct the AD effect, we can say that we have a growth in revenues of 2.3%, which is growth. And growth on the top line is new for CTT for quite a few years. For 5 years we went down, and this year of 2014 we are going up at this level of 2.3% in the first half. And that is happening because of the different areas that we have been discussing. Mail is decreasing much less than in the past because volumes are going in the right direction, although slowly as expected, but the price effect is compensating a lot of that. Also because the financial services revenues are growing very fast, not only the recurrence, but also in this first half we receive a signing bonus or a signing fee from Cetelem of 3 million euros. And in terms of Express and Parcels is where the direction is not yet the one that we believe we can get, but we are in the middle of this change and transformation that is creating some issues in the revenue line and in the profitability line. In the page 8, in terms of costs, the first thing that we have to remind everyone is that in the first half of 2013, we have a non-recurring operating costs of 6.8 million, which is connected with one of the benefits of the employees that we restructured, and with that we made savings of more than 8 million, then deducting a few things, it goes to that value of 6.8. So we have to take it out as a comparison basis, because that was since we made it explained that was not recurrent. Then we have the AD effect, and the rest we see that staff costs, although we have reincorporated those salary cuts that happened while we were a state-owned company, and now they don't happen anymore. And as you remember, we gave a guidance of around 6 million per year, so let's say roughly 3 million on the first half. Nevertheless, with the rest of the measures, we have been able to cancel that to zero, and so we have a flat staff cost evolution. And then in external services and in other costs, they kept the trend of coming down. And so we can say that we have, although we have a 1.3% growth, in when we take out the non-recurring, that the total costs came down in fact. In page 9, recurring EBITDA, where the EAD effect is not so significant, and then what we see is that the revenues of mail and express and parcels put a little pressure on the EBITDA, but the revenues of financial services were very positive and the operating costs were less than that, so we have been able to, in recurrent, in after EAD effect, to have an increase of 11.1% of recurring EBITDA, as shown there. Cash flow generation in page 10 is the effect of this, but maybe what we should highlight is that although first half is when we pay dividends, so the 60 million are there, nevertheless we ended the period with more cash than we started. Because of the net profit, of keeping investing less than depreciating, because of the management of the supplier's accounts payable that we have been commenting and mentioning, and that is has a positive effect on the cash, because we had the proceeds of selling EAD, and also because of a seasonal effect of the taxes, corporate taxes on the end of this quarter. Nevertheless, we increased that. For more detail on the financial performance, I pass to André Gurjão Costa, the CFO that you know.
Hello, good afternoon or good morning. In this page, I would highlight the recurring of our results compared with the reported ones. First of all, to stress out that one of the questions that some of you posted us in different occasions is the ability to the company to deliver growth at the same time as keeping the costs down or still having more efficient measures put in place. And what you can see on a recurring basis that we had a 1.4 increase in the revenues together with a decline of 0.5% in the operating costs. This shows that and we'll see by business area that the efficiency in the cost cutting and the measures or the initiatives under the transformation plan to deliver more efficient operations are always on our minds. And this is a good sign to show that in the first half of the year we had a recurring increase on the EBITDA of 11% because we were able to deliver growth in revenues, keeping the costs down, at even reducing somewhat the costs in the first half of the year. The second point that I would stress out, when you go to net financial income or expense, we had, compared with last year, a worse performance, basically because, as most of you know, we have our cash position invested in deposits, and the return on deposits this year are quite lower than the return on deposits last year. So the difference you see between the 1.2 million euros negative last year to 3.2 million euros negative this year come only because we are getting a lower return in our cash investments that we got last year. And this is bad in this part of our income statement, but you need to bear in mind that having a low return on our deposits, it's a good sign for the financial services business because we are being more competitive in the products that we sell in our financial services business compared with banks. So it's something that balances between each other. Last but not least, regarding the net profit of on a recurring basis, we have, as Francisco already stated, a 20%, almost 20% increase in the recurring net profit. That, at the end of the day, it's one of the big metrics that we follow because it's the one that enables us, that we'll see in the end of the presentation, to give the return to our shareholders that they want or what they expect for the company. Regarding the following page, just talking briefly about the non-recurring items, just to stress out that last year we had several non-recurring savings, basically for some of measures that we took of balance sheet optimization. This is because some of you have doubts what can be done in terms of optimization of the balance sheet. The things we did last year, it's a good example of things that we are thinking about. We cannot give more light about what we are doing this year, but we believe there is still some measures of balance sheet optimization. And last year, during telephone subscription benefit that we had in our balance sheet to retired employees, doing a change in the way that we pay this benefit, we were able to get the 8.4 savings in this benefit, and it's a good example. So just a big idea regarding this chart is that this year the non-recurring items are quite lower, namely the ones on the cost side. The one that I would stress out this year, it's the 3 million euros that we got from the signing of the agreement with ZLM. That is a non-recurring profit that we stated very clearly. And the second of all, we have non-recurring costs of the restructuring process that we are doing in Express and Parcels, namely in Spain, that, as we told you in several occasions, we would take advantage of the better-than-expected performance in financial service to accelerate the restructuring in Express and Parcels, bearing the extra cost that this could mean. If we go to page 14, the big point to stress out is the mail volumes evolution. First of all, we got a 3.9% decline in address mail volumes in the second quarter. This enabled us for you to understand our belief in the first quarter when we talked about it, that we had some seasonal effects and some bad comparison with first quarter last year. Second quarter enabled us to show that we believe we are in the trend that we expect for the year. That to give again our view is that we believe that mail volumes will be between 6 and 7% decline, coming to a long-term trend that everyone knows. Regarding still mail volumes, I would stress out that address or transactional mail only felt 5.7%. The one that is hurting more the volumes, it's advertising mail that didn't pick up yet, although we see good signs because television advertising is picking up, and when we have advertising picking up and when we'll have the supply of advertising in TV filled up, probably we'll start seeing a recovery in the other types of advertising, and we should expect for the year end or probably next year this to start to pick up. Regarding steel mail, I would stress out that the performance on a recurring basis went up very significantly, and here you see one of the things that I was stressing out. We can still deliver efficiency measures to cut costs and to get more efficient. And in the mail business, you see that we were able to decrease in 3% the operating costs of the mail business with several initiatives. It's not one initiative, it's several that will deliver cost saving along the year, probably this year and still next year, because there are several things that we still can do, even with the big ones that we did in the last years. I would just finish this stressing out the EBITDA margin in the mail business, that is 16.6%, 1% increase from last year, that is quite relevant to mention. In financial services, you see that we had a 20% increase in revenues, having, in terms of EBITDA, almost a 50% increase. And this comes mainly because we are very cautious in managing our costs. What we did in this business line is, in order to increase the sale of financial services, not hurting the ability of the retail network to sell products, we put the operations during the last half of the last year more efficient, putting more online the operations in order to be able to increase revenues without increasing costs. And once again, this shows our worry about the efficiency of our operations, even in a growth scenario where we have in the financial services. If we go to page 16, Express and Parcels, here it's important to stress out Portugal and Spain. You see that in Portugal we have volumes growing up by 17%. The growth that we are seeing in volumes in Portugal and in Spain, but in Portugal a lot, coming from B2C parcels. And as we stressed in several meetings and in several conferences that where we were, these parcels need to have a proper way to be delivered. And one of the big initiatives that we are putting together, and we started already in the first half to be able to do this, is to deliver them or part of them throughout our mail distribution network in Portugal. So one of the things that will deliver good results for the future will be the more integrated distribution network between Express and Parcels and mail business in Portugal to address better the distribution of the B2C parcels. But even without distributing the Express and Parcel or the B2C parcels that we have in Portugal, we are almost in a 10% EBITDA margin in Portugal, what means that the operation is a very efficient operation and we have clearly economies of scale that enable us to be very competitive. In Spain, it's a different scenario. As we told you, we would try to anticipate some of the restructuring measures that we wanted to do if we were going better in other business that we expected, namely in financial services, and that is what we are doing. In the first half of the year, we lost two big franchisees because they were not able to keep up with the conditions that we put to them. So it hurted the volumes and mainly it hurted our revenues in the operations in Spain. The restructuring process is undergoing. It's not yet finished. It will take some time and we are still seeing the best way to address this market because we know that in Spain we do not have a cost advantage as we have in Portugal. We are a middle market player and we need to have a very efficient operation compared with other competitors of the same size in order to be able to compete in this market. This is the job that is undergoing and we believe until the end of the year we'll have or we should have some results, but we are not yet seeing that this will in the near future start to show or a big growth or a big return in the profitability. But regarding this, I would highlight just that if you look at recurring operating costs, you see that they increase, but they increase also because in the process of doing the restructuring in Spain and also part of the restructuring in Portugal that we are doing regarding the B2C parcel delivery, we need to assume or need to do some of the distribution, not in the most efficient way, but in order to keep up with the volume growth, we are doing it, and afterwards putting together the initiatives to do an efficient distribution of this parcel. In page 17, regarding operating free cash flow, as already Francisco stated, we were able to have a very strong cash flow from operating activities, which enabled us to reach the end of first half of the year with more cash that we had in the end of last year, even with the payment of the dividends that we had that were quite higher than the ones that we paid last year. This shows that the management of the working capital is something that is delivering the results that we expected, and apart from that, we are also very eager to manage our cash. And in the investment side, and just to keep this clear, we are below the target that we have for the year, the 15 to 20 year CapEx requirement for this year. In the first half, we're quite lower than half of this value, but in the second half, we should expect that part of it will be recovered and will reach the end of the year between the 15 million-20 million euros CapEx. Francisco, do you want to give the outlook? Regarding balance sheets, if you look, the big difference between the end of the year, it's the cash and cash equivalents in our balance sheet. This comes mainly from the bigger activity in financial services, and because we are having, and it's a good news, we are having more subsidies paid in our network throughout transfers, money transfers, which will mean that in the second half, probably we'll have a new flow of income from money transfers coming from these new subsidies being paid in our network, and it's the big difference from the end of the year. Apart from that, with the cash generated in the quarter, we finished the first half with a cash position higher than the one that we had at the end of the year.
So concluding this stage with the outlook, page 20, we have updated and upgraded in certain points the full year 2014 outlook. So in terms of revenues and margins, we keep the goal of stable revenues, although we know that we are doing better than that. Nevertheless, for the full year, we still keep this stable, which is a big difference from the decrease or the decline that we have been living in the last few years or 5 years. Then, in terms of costs, the IT and communications procurement process will represent annual cost savings of circa 14 million euros, which is better than expected, and this will start to be felt during 2015. The mid-single-digit growth in recurring EBITDA is, in fact, what is an upgrade, because as you remember, we were in the low single digit, and now we are in the middle single-digit growth in recurring EBITDA. In terms of the revenues, although we have been able to do a little more than just stable, nevertheless, we still have risks on the upside, so it's not time yet, or at least it's not time to revise it. Investment and growth, we keep the target of CapEx of circa 20 million euros, although probably we'll do a little less than that. The decision on the postal bank license, as I said, will be presented to the board in the fourth quarter, and the credit card offer will also be launched in the fourth quarter. In terms of cash flow, further balance sheet optimization measures are under study, under implementation, and we'll see more of that in the fourth quarter. And the employee benefits management and optimization, namely accelerated monetization of the tax asset, but also some of other things that will involve some negotiations, will also be done until year-end. The earnings and dividends, we believe we are now confident, and the full board was met yesterday and approved what I'm going to say, that the board is confident that it will be able to propose a minimum dividend of 0.435 euros per share, which for 150 million shares outstanding is 65.25 million euros for the financial year 2014, so the one that will be payable in 2015. And now we open for questions, and we are ready to try to answer your questions. Thank you for your.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a telephone question at this time, please press star one on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star two. Once again, please press star one to ask a question. Our first question today comes from Chris Kuhn of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. Just a couple of questions. First one's on cash flow. If we look at the first half performance in working capital, it seems like most of the gains were in the first quarter. How confident are you in further gains in the second half? And, you know, what order of magnitude do you think is reasonable for full year gains? Could it be a repeat of Q1, sort of $6 or $7 million, or more or less? Thanks.
We expect for the full year from working capital initiatives to have a saving of around 10 to 15 million euros overall. If we'll get that in the first quarter, second quarter, or the fourth, it will depend a lot on the performance on our payables and our collections. In the payables, we are being very active, and we can manage very actively this. On the collection side, some of our clients, namely some of our big clients, and namely the tax authority, the payment performance of them, it's quite variable along the year. So we are always trying to have the performance of the collections on the dates that we define, but sometimes they do not perform as well as we expected. So at the end of the year, I will tell you that we expect 10 to 15 million euros of working capital cash flow coming from working capital.
Okay, and second question, your reference to balance sheet optimization, could that also include taking on significant debt at this stage, or would that fall outside of that reference?
No,
we are not considering that at this stage. You know that we have a few pending issues and that will not be clear until a few quarters more, and we are not planning to change dramatically our balance sheet structure on that sense. The optimization is more on the line of the working capital and on the line of trying to find ways to monetize the healthcare liabilities as we have been discussing.
And as you know, the healthcare liabilities have several ways to be dealt for the future. One of them was discussed in last year and still on the table. That is a possibility to sell to the government. And we are also, if not to sell to the government, trying to pursue other possibilities in order to try to get the more efficient management of these healthcare liabilities in our balance sheet. We cannot give more light on that, but we are doing several measures instead of the possibility of selling to the government to have alternatives that will deliver the same value that we expect.
Okay, and very last one for me. The dividend guidance suggests sort of 9% minimum growth. Should we read that as indicative of a longer-term target in terms of what you'd like to deliver?
Sorry, the last part of your question, I didn't get it.
My question was, if we look at the dividend guidance, it suggests a 9% growth on your inaugural dividend. Should we assume that that's indicative of what your sort of medium to longer term targets may be in terms of delivering, you know, a certain degree of dividend growth?
No, I think that's too soon to put a so demanding level. But what is an indication is that this year we feel comfortable enough to put a growth on dividend like that. We are not committing on anything to other than what we have already announced for the following years, and as you know, is that we will distribute at least 90% of the net profit each year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll now move to our next question from Douglas Hayes from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. A couple questions, please. First, on the parcel side of things, it looks like in the volume growth continued to remain quite good, especially in Portugal, but there continues to be pricing pressure. Can you talk a little bit about the competitive environments that you're seeing in both Spain and in Portugal?
The number one reason the volume growth not happening in the same way in the revenue growth is the change of mix. Where we are seeing the growth in volumes is in the e-commerce driven type of parcels, and as you know, those are smaller items that don't demand so much speed, and so the price that we can charge is much lower than the price for the bigger items with a high speed track. And this is affecting more than the pricing pressure. There are some pricing pressures, but we are not in a stage of dramatic pricing pressure in Portugal or in, especially in Portugal. And even in Spain, we don't see it so much. In Portugal, we also have to bear in mind on the issue of the banking network, as we call it, so our business of being the internal mailer of documents of banks from one branch to the other and to the head office. And that doesn't count as volumes because those items are not counted as items, but the revenues are included in the total revenues of the Express and Parcels, and that has been continuing to suffer every year.
Okay, great, thank you. And then secondly, again, staying with the parcels network, you guys had said at the last quarterly results that you were working on some pilots for the integration of the mail and the parcels network. How have those pilots gone, and have you gotten a feel for maybe how much overlap there is between the two networks, or what sort of efficiencies you could we could think about getting?
We already have some figures, although they are still going to be tested. We are going to start to implement it. After we start to implement and seeing these gains, we'll get more comfortable about the level of gains that we can get from that. And when we have more clear picture about that, we will give a better understanding what we can get from that. What we have now is we reach the conclusion that we can get efficiency from the management of the two networks together. We have some areas where we can have the mail network supporting the parcel network in the distribution, and we have some savings feature calculated. We will start implementing to see if the savings can be more or less the ones that we estimated, and when we get that, we'll give more light about the subject, as we gave about the IT procurement when we got the results.
Okay, great, thank you. And then I guess finally, stemming from that, you guys have announced the IT contract, which should help provide some savings as we head into 2015, and you're working on integrating the parcels and mail operations. Any other things that you're thinking about, or any other concrete things you're thinking about when it comes to future cost savings?
I think those are the two main items in terms of future savings, and that's the one, as you know, that we have been mentioning for a few quarters. In terms of headcount, which is an important part of our cost base, as you know, what is happening this year of 2014 is that we are not decreasing so much the headcount, but we are speeding up the integration of, or the reinsourcing of activities that were out. The integration of networks is part of that, and because when we use more the mail distribution network, we are talking about our own staff and the vehicles. When we are talking about the Express and Parcels network, it's more or almost fully outsourced. And that movement, you see, is the same thing we are talking about, but nevertheless it goes to external services and not headcount. Nevertheless, we are still having this year the benefits of the full year effect of last year's decrease. We are decreasing a little bit this year, but nothing compared with the previous years. Still in staff, not exactly savings, but on the reverse, we have to bear in mind the effect of cancelling the salary cuts coming from the time where we were state-owned, and last year was a full, almost full year of that. This year we are having around more 6 million euros of cost because of that. And also that for 3 or 4 years we had no payment of variable salaries or variable payments connected with performance for anyone in the company. This year or late last year we started integrating that in some sales functions, but we plan to enlarge it to the much wider population, and so you will see some pressures of growth of salary costs on that front. We are still on HR connected type of things. We are working on other areas that might decrease the costs, and so it's too soon to tell you where the net effect will go, but just to highlight that there are issues there that one of these days we'll discuss more.
And just to finish up and giving a more comment about that, as we told several times, we have, and Francisco has stated that in several meetings, we have several initiatives, small initiatives, that each one delivers a low saving, a small saving, but all put together they will mean, or they will represent meaningful savings. As I stressed out when we talked about the mail business, although we didn't have any major initiative in the first half of this year, we had several small ones that delivered savings in the mail business higher than the decline in the revenues and enable us to increase the EBITDA. So as Francisco said, these are the two big ones that are in our hands now. Probably in the future we will have new big ones, but for now are these two. And apart from that, we have several small initiatives that all put together can deliver also relevant savings.
Great, very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question today comes from Alono Estacio of Espirito Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. Just two questions, if I may. The first one is, you are now researching your Express and Parcels activity in Spain, as Andrea mentioned. But as you mentioned yourself, you are a mid-tier player there. What are your expectations for this activity? Are you looking to buy smaller players to try to enlarge this and become a relevant player in Spain? Or would you be willing to sell if there is a proposal, if we can get some views on that? The second question is on free cash flow. Your free cash flow generation was very strong in first half. Can you help us try to build a little bit for second half? Your CapEx level is almost at zero still. So is there any reason why to expect slower evolution in second half? And finally, on the third question would be if you can give us some views on what's happening in mail volumes in third quarter and for the full year, your full year expectations for addressed mail items. We are now at around 7. Your long-term guidance is more on 3 to 5. Do we think we still have to wait for a couple of years or that we can start to see that as the economy is picking up? Thank you.
Thank you, Nuno. On the first one, what we are seeing more and more is the need to be in both sides, in both countries of Iberia, to work with the larger customers. And that's true in both directions, both in the flows coming from Portugal to Spain and from Spain to Portugal. So we believe that it makes sense to be somehow present in Spain. Of course, at least theoretically, you don't have to have your own operation. You can make an agreement with someone. But nevertheless, it makes sense to have a global offer for the two countries for our customer base, because if not, we could lose important customers for the competition because we would not offer that. This is one of the strategic reasons, or the main strategic reason, why we believe we should be in Spain. Nevertheless, managing the operation in Spain is not being easy, and we are doing a lot of efforts to restructure it, and to put it in proper shape. Until we believe that we are comfortable that we are in the we have the grip on the operation as we should, we are not considering increasing the size of the operation there. So I'm not ruling it out, but I don't anticipate anything soon on that front, at least buying another competitor or things like that. The relationship with the franchisees can evolve from time to time, and so some minor things can happen in terms of creating, integrating more one or two franchisees, but that doesn't change dramatically the global figures. In terms of Portugal, as I have been saying since the beginning, if a good opportunity appears to acquire something, we could consider it. We are not actively working in anything as we speak, but just to remember that or to remind that we have been saying that since a year ago or so. So, in conclusion, the answer to your question is at this stage we believe we should stay in Spain, but put our act together before we think about other steps. Maybe in a couple of quarters, if we are not where we want, maybe we'll reconsider. If we are where we want, maybe we reconsider on the other direction. In the last one, I'll give the cash flow to you. But in the last one, as you know, we cannot comment on specific figures that are not publicly disclosed. So we cannot comment on July. Nevertheless, what we can say is that for this year, we are pretty confident that we will go in the direction that we anticipated. And after the second quarter, we reinforced that belief and that we are in the right direction, not to go to the 3-5 this year, but to approaching on that direction as we anticipated.
Regarding the free cash flow and the CapEx investment, some of the CapEx has been delayed, and some of the delay is connected with the restructuring and the projects, the initiatives that we mentioned, because when we are doing some initiatives to, namely to put together two distribution networks, some of the investments that we were foreseeing for this business were delayed in order to do it already with the new approach to the networks. In the Express and Parcel, we have some IT investments relevant to put more features in the service that we deliver that are delayed. They are undergoing but delayed. And some of the CapEx probably we will not spend this year as we anticipated, because just to give you an idea, we had foreseen some CapEx for the partnership in the credit business, and at the end of the day our partner did all the CapEx in the IT needed, so we didn't need to do this CapEx. But we will have more CapEx in the second half that we had in the first half. Probably, as Francisco already said, probably will not reach the 20 million euros, but it's still too soon to say that if we'll get that or not. We continue to be in the 15 to 20 million euros average level of CapEx that we'll need each year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question today comes from Zhan Cheng Li of Oceanwood Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My question is focused on financial service, because for this year, I think most of the growth comes from the sales of the saving product, which is very impressive. But my question is, if I look forward to second half of this year, or let's say 2015, I just wonder if those kind of 20% growth rate for the financial service is sustainable a lot, because the impact on the EBITDA is very high from the financial service. So that's my question for today.
First question, the 20% growth is sustainable. We do not believe it is sustainable, a 20% growth. As we said from the beginning, we expect a low double-digit growth in financial services. This year, we already expect to be higher than low double-digit because we are having, as you said, a very strong performance in the savings side. We are launching now the credit, and we are starting to have an aggressive approach to the selling of this product, and we still have some initiatives in our hands for the year end. In a stable scenario, we are keeping our target of having low double-digit growth in revenues in financial services and keeping up very efficient operation. If we can increase EBITDA, I don't think we can increase EBITDA. Our target for the EBITDA is around 50% or somewhat below the 50%. Now we are above. We are still quite confident that the performance in the savings will continue. You need to bear in mind that we are putting together a very strong portfolio of savings managed in our network that for the future will give us more ability to resell and to sell new saving products to our clients and have a stable flow from this business of savings. Apart from that, as I said when we talked about financial services, we just signed a new agreement with Social Security to pay new subsidies or new kind of pensions to the citizens in our network. So for the second half of the year, we'll also have good results coming from the transfer business that we have. So for the future, we anticipate to continue to have double-digit growth in financial services, but probably not at the level of 20%.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question now comes from Andy Jones of RBC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking the questions. I have three, if I may. The first one is on mail volumes. I think you touched on the European elections and the unaddressed mail side of things, but was there any impact in the addressed mail side of things? I think some of the peers suggest that it's anywhere around 1% to 2% of volumes when this kind of election happens. My second question is on the IT contract. When do you think we get to the full run rate of the 14 million annual savings? Is that for the 2015 year or up until the 2016 year? And is that a real kind of like-for-like provision of service under that contract? And my final question is, I think you touched that some of your CapEx savings have come from restructuring, but in terms of the acceleration, should we expect any more OPEX spend in terms of restructuring charges through both Spain and the Portuguese mail parcel integration? Thank you.
About the IT contract, and then the other two Andrea will take. The way we calculated the figure that we announced is comparing a full year with a contract according to the firm proposals that we have approved yesterday with the last full year that we had. And so this is an estimation based in specific data of a specific full year. When that full year will be, probably 2015, but that we cannot be 100% sure yet. There are some steps to be done, namely in terms of migrating from one supplier to the other, that we believe could be done until year end, but we cannot say it 100% sure at this stage.
Regarding the question about the mail coming from the elections, the increase in volumes in mail coming from elections. First of all, they were not very big because European elections, unfortunately, they are not very popular in any European country, so the parties do not spend a lot of money in these elections, but they come mostly, or I would say almost everything coming from unaddressed mail. The addressed mail didn't have any impact from the elections.
The ultimo.
The last question was, sorry?
It was just a question about whether there's likely to be any increase in non-recurring charges related to network restructuring now that you've sped up the integration in between mail and parcel, and also any ongoing stuff in Spain. Thank
Integration costs in the or costs about the integration of Express and Parcels with the distribution of mail, we do not expect relevant or any significant non-recurring costs on that. Basically, we'll have some investments, namely on IT, putting some track and trace features in our mail network, but this will be investments that comes to the CapEx that we are anticipating and we have in our target. In the Spanish operations, probably we'll still have some costs on the restructuring, but I would say in line what we had in the first half of the year, continuing for the second half of the year. What I would stress out and about this, and we were talking about the previous question or the previous question about the financial services, that you need to bear in mind that when we are managing the restructuring of Express and Parcels, we are managing more heavily or less heavily because we have two growth levels that we are able to manage more stable or more balanced in order to deliver the growth that we expect to our shareholders. And this is a big issue that you should bear in mind, that having a business unit that is performing better than expected, like financial services, enable us to have a more strong restructuring or a more quicker restructuring in the Express and Parcels in order to be better in the future, in order to start having a better growth in the future.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question now comes from Felipe Lite of BPI. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. I have two additional questions. The first one regarding the new IT contract. I would like to know if the new IT contract includes all the services of the previous contract. And can you give us an indication of what will be the transitional costs that you mentioned on the release? And if these transition costs are one-off costs or on an annual basis? And the second question is regarding your new target of mid-single-digit growth at recurrent EBITDA. It already includes the contribution of the new financial services of BNP Cetelem. And what are your expectations regarding this year and next year contribution from these new financial services to your top line and EBITDA? Thank you.
Hello, Felipe. The new contracts, they have a different structure. We have, in fact, three contracts, 10-year term. Now we have five different items or group of items with a maximum 3 years. Some of them are shorter, but for the calculations, we have put it at the same comparison purposes. There are a few items that are out of these contracts that were included in the previous ones, but when we made the calculation, we adjusted for that. So the calculation is consistent with that. In terms of transitional costs, those are one-off. They will happen this year still. And but we don't disclose the figure, so we cannot comment more on that. They will not change dramatically the picture.
Regarding the second question about our outlook about the mid-single-digit performance on the EBITDA, it includes all the business that we are developing. I would say that the risks nowadays and looking at the performance of first half are on the upside, not on the downside, but we still have half a year to come. There are several issues that can impact our business. So we are confident that the mid-single digit is a good target to have for the year, although having the new business of Cetelem, having the restructuring of Express and Parcel and the integration of the distribution networks coming or showing some results, probably we can have a better than this result, but it's too soon to know. And our we are now confident, as Francisco said, that we can deliver mid-single-digit growth in the EBITDA for the year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question now comes from Arash Roshan Samir from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. I have one question, if I may. Could you give us some guidance on the parcel division? What should we expect in terms of top-line growth for the full year? I mean, in Q1 you had 4% growth, but in Q2 revenues declined by around 5%, so your revenue regeneration seems quite volatile. So any guidance for that?
As we told about Portugal, we are confident that we can deliver the same level of growth that we had in the first half of the year, that is around the 5% or somewhat, can be somewhat below or somewhat above. Regarding Spain, as we explained, the restructuring process, it's very dynamic. It's a process that we will never know impact that we'll have in the short term in terms of revenues. And to leave it clear, we will do the needed restructuring even if it hurts our revenues and our volumes in Spain. So, as we said, the road of the restructuring in Spain is a bumpy road, namely on revenues and on profitability, but it needs to be done, and we prefer to do it sooner than later. So, for the year end, you should continue to expect some non-regular or non-stable evolution in the revenues and volumes of the Express and Parcel business. In Portugal, quite more stable. In Spain, more unstable. And in the second quarter that you see in Spain, we have a poor evolution because of the loss of two big franchisees.
Understood. Maybe one follow-up question on unaddressed mail volumes. You mentioned that you expect advertising mail to pick up next year. Will that have a negative impact on unaddressed mail volumes, actually? Thanks.
Potentially, yes.
Can you quantify it?
No. It depends on the behavior of the consumers. We can have some shift between unaddressed to addressed advertising mail in order to have more valid advertising mail, or we can have both having growth because the economy is recovering. That part is difficult to predict because, as we explain sometimes, is that direct mail or advertising mail not competing with other mail, or it's not competing to electronic substitution only, it's competing with other kinds of advertising, and it will depend a lot on the behavior of the other advertising means or ways to do it and the price that each of the players will play for the future. So one of the big questions that we still have to understand is how will newspapers and online advertising perform in the following quarters in terms of pricing in order to know what we can do for the future in terms of advertising mail.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if we have any further questions, please press *1 on your telephone keypad now. We will now take our next question from Alex Patterson of Espirito Santo. Please go ahead.
Hello there. Could I just ask two quick questions, please? Firstly, could you say what proportion, if any, of your parcels business is pan-Iberian or crosses over from Spain into Portugal? And secondly, could you just say, in terms of the transactional mail volumes, you gave some data in the statement, would you be able to split that out on a monthly run rate? So, for example, you know, where the transactional volume came down 0.9% in the second quarter from around a bigger decline in the first. Was that a smooth decline? Did it drop or did it recover more in April? You know, could you just give us a bit more detail around that, please?
Second question, we cannot give more detail on that. We give detail on the quarter, and as you saw in the first quarter, the detail on the quarter can be hurtful because you take a lot of forecasts based on some monthly or some 3-month figures. So we do not give more detail on a month evolution. We give, as we said, we believe that
half a year evolution, it's a good indication for the year. A quarter evolution, it's a poor indication for the year. And a month evolution is even poor indication for the year. Regarding the Iberian parcels,
it's different from Portugal to Spain. It's in Portugal less than 10% and in Spain it's around 5%.
I was checking with my colleague in the parcel business. It's in Portugal it's below 10% and in Spain it's around 5% across border parcels.
Great. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. We'll now take a follow-up question from Chris Krum of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. Just a very quick one, a follow-up on Spain. I think at the time of the IPO, you disclosed, is it 4% market share in cross-border? Just trying to understand what the ambition may be, and then how does that, in fact, how does that impact profitability, rather, if we think about an incremental cross-border shipment? Is that largely a variable cost, outsourcing the cross-border movement? Any additional color would be helpful.
I'm not sure if we can give too much color, but in terms of we have there a franchisee-based model, so we have our own fixed cost base, but most of it is totally variable. So that's variable cost if we increase the volumes that we are transporting. As usual in this activity, of course, by steps. I'm not sure if I got totally your question.
Yes, Chris, if the question is our cross-border volumes between Portugal and Spain, if represents more cost than the ones we have, it no, because in Portugal they use the network we have in Portugal, and in Spain it uses the network that we have in Spain. What we did in the recent past, and it's already operational, is the connection between the two networks in order for them to work together.
We have already some connection, but we readjusted that to be sure that they kept with the windows and so that the time windows and so that the quality of service was the adequate one. But that by itself does not increase the cost. It's variable cost.
Understood. And in terms of ambitions, are you prepared at this stage to sort of identify what a target might be for market share?
No, not yet, although we believe that we are gaining some market share this year or 2013 compared with 2012, but we don't have specific figures yet and not ambition. It's too soon. We have to first put our act together and that's
all. Regarding the e-commerce, there are some parcel volumes that come from Iberia level and not at country level, and those ones we are addressing aggressively as we address all the e-commerce business that is new coming to Portugal and Spain.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if we have any further questions, please press *1 on your telephone keypad now. There are now no further questions in the telephone queue, so I would like to hand the call back to our speakers today for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you all for attending. I believe you are happy with the results, and have nice holidays for the ones that have not yet gone, and we'll talk soon after this slow month of August keeping our normal activity at IR level. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That will now conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.